A wonderful series of books that are very heartwarming are the Christmas in My Heart volumes. Long before Chicken Soup for the Soul, that series, Dr. Joe Wheeler was producing these Christmas in My Heart books. Dr. Wheeler has been now working with Focus on the Family for 31 books, but he began that whole series long before he even started working with Focus on the Family. His website is joewheelerbooks.com. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Wheeler, so great to have you on the program.
Well, it's good to be with you again.
So you have written about 90 books or edited about 90 books. How many of those are the Christmas in My Heart books?
The Christmas in My Heart series, the core series, is now 24 years old. Our 24th consecutive Christmas collection is out this year.
Wow.
And it's now the longest running Christmas story series in America. So there are evidently a lot of other sentimentalists out there besides me.
Sure. And just to give people an overview, each of these books contains short stories all related somehow to Christmas. How many stories would the average Christmas in My Heart books
about have? 15 to 18.
15 to 18. Okay, great. And how did you come across to this or start all this?
Well, first of all, I was fortunate enough to have been homeschooled by a remarkable missionary mother in Latin America growing up. And I didn't realize at the time that being homeschooled by an elocutionist, my mother was a stage performer with stories and poetry,
wow,
that it would have such an impact on me. But she kind of predetermined the direction my life would take, and I went into teaching of English history. And then I had a student of mine, an English major, who one morning in class said that she was tired of dorm regulations and cafeteria food and invited herself home with us for the weekend. And that weekend she asked if I'd ever written a Christmas story, and I said no. And she said, well, why don't you? And I said, I will. And she said, why don't you do it tonight? It's going to be snowing all weekend. So that's how the stories begin. And then a few years later...
Well, wait, can I stop you? You mean, yeah, the first one of these Christmas stories was one that you yourself wrote?
Well, it was the catalyst. And then then I stumbled into an editor's office who asked what I'd been doing, and I told her, and she said, but you've only written two. That was a little bit later. And I said, well, I was raised on them. And so she asked me to put together a collection of my favorite Christmas stories, which I finally did. It went through two printings before Christmas. They called it Christmas in My Heart. There was no number. We never expected there to be another. And went through two printings before Christmas.
Wow.
And by the time Christmas 2 came out, actually it was 1 year later, Dr. Dobson had fallen in love with Christmas in My Heart, and he went back to Christmas 2 for his Christmas story of the year in 1994.
Wow.
Sent 3 million copies out and read it on the air around the world, and that's when we lost control of our lives.
Huh. Isn't that fascinating? What was the particular story that he was so touched by?
It was Dr. Frederick Loomis's The Tiny Foot, perhaps the greatest right-to-life story, and it's a true story ever written.
Could you summarize it?
Well, it has to do with a doctor who had a... that quite often, especially father-to-be, would tell him, you know, I don't want a child that's not perfect, especially I don't want one that has major problems. You as a doctor know how to keep such a child from being born, and I'm depending on you to do it in case that happens. Well, in this case... And of course, doctors deeply resent being told to play God in a situation like this. And lo and behold, here came this, when he put his hand in, his worst fears were realized. One leg from the knee down was missing. And so he knew that the mother was very fragile and probably couldn't handle such a thing. And he wrestled like he'd never wrestled in his life, knowing all he'd have to do is just slow it down. And if it got beyond 7 minutes, the baby would be stillborn. And he finally determined he would do it. But as he was...
Wait. He would do what? He would deliver the baby or he would allow the baby to die?
That he would stop the baby from being born.
Wow.
And during that 7 minutes, when the nurses were watching him, he pretended to be getting ready to let the baby be born. And as he was feeling around, the one good leg vigorously pushed against his hand, and it was more than he could handle. So the baby was born, and all of his worst fears were realized from the family impoverished themselves, traveling from one clinic to another, and he lost control, he lost contact with the family. Many years later, at a Christmas ceremony for the hospital that they had every year, there was a very moving Christmas ceremony with the nurses coming in their beautiful nurses' gowns and holding candles and singing. And there was a beautiful harpist that he couldn't take his eyes off of. And when the program was over, a woman came running down the aisle toward him and said, "You saw her! You saw her!" And he said, "I saw who?" "Well, our daughter, the one that you saved. She is now going to become one of the world's greatest harpists. And with many operations, she has an artificial leg now, and she can almost dance." And as the girl approached him, the doctor stood up and took her in his arms, and he told her, "I have a burden greater than you will ever know that has been lifted tonight. Would you go back and play Silent Night once more for me alone?" It's a very inadequate synthesis that I've given you,
right,
but it is so powerful that I have had a woman come up to me at book signings and pull out a tattered Christmas newsletter from Dr. Dobson that had been in their purse for years and say, "You know, I cannot release this thing. It can't be further away from me ever than my purse." Anyway, that's the story of the tiny foot, and Dr. Dobson, I think, has used it about 5 Christmases.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, I can't help but think of how in ancient Samaria, ancient Sparta, that if a child was born, let's say, with a club foot or, you know, some sort of defect, they would just take the child and throw the child away. And in fact, you know, abandoning of children was very common if they weren't perfect, and even if the family chose to just not want to have that child. And this beautiful story really counteracts that whole quality of life mentality. That's absolutely beautiful. Now, as far as you finding these stories, do you have a lot of classic stories in there? For example, O. Henry, Charles Dickens? I don't know, just wondering.
Well, yes, I certainly have O. Henry's The Gift of the Magi. And I...
Is that the one about the hair and the brush?
Yeah,
is that the one about the hair and the brush? Okay.
In fact, we were recently back east and in Asheville, North Carolina, and in the cemetery... there were 2 famous graves, one for O. Henry and one for Thomas Wolfe. And as we were searching out O. Henry's grave, there was this mother and her little daughter that were right next to the tombstone. And the little girl was running her hand over the top back and forth and back and forth. And it turned out that I think it was $1.86 that was the amount of money that she had to spend the protagonist in The Gift of the Magi. And that in coins is always on top of O. Henry's tombstone.
Oh, wow.
and people keep stealing parts of it. And so this mother and her daughter, they have as their mission in life to come and replenish the coin. So there's always the dollar and 86 cents.
Oh, that's funny. And what state was that in?
That was in Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina. Interesting. Okay.
But in terms of where I get the stories,
yeah,
we have spent most of the last 25 years buying up old books, old magazines, because the greatest Christmas stories were written during what I call the golden age of Judeo-Christian stories. That was 1880s through the 1950s.
Hmm.
And when television came in, a lot of those wonderful family and child magazines that these stories originally appeared in closed their doors. They couldn't compete against television. And so even though I include contemporary writers as well, the greatest stories, I have to rummage around in these old magazines that are crumbling out of existence.
Wow.
And this is why contemporary authors, when they did a study on me, they called me a story archaeologist, because essentially that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to save as many before they disappear completely.
Wow. Well, maybe you could name an obscure author, or obscure to us, from that period that we might want to, you know about.
Well, I would say one that we have anthologized perhaps more than any other is Margaret Sangster. And
Not to be confused with Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sangster. How do you spell that?
Yeah, not Sanger, but Sangster. She was at one time one of America's most famous writers, and now very few people remember her. And
please spell that last name.
Sangster.
Oh, okay.
And I think her greatest heart-tugger is The Littlest Orphan, and then The Christ Baby. And this is one that people really search out. I think I probably anthologize 14 of her stories.
Wow.
Temple Bailey is another one that was very popular once, and now I'm always searching for her stories as well. But I have contemporary writers like Isabel Stewart, recently died in South Africa, who is perhaps worldwide one of the most widely circulated contemporary authors. But she writes with the same power, and the ingredients that people look for in the stories we choose.
We have about 1 minute left.
Are that they touch you deeply. You can't read them without reaching for Kleenex, and they have the spiritual dimension of Christmas, and you couldn't forget them if you tried.
I'll tell you, one that really touched my wife was something about some poor immigrants who lived in Chicago, and it involved some sort of tablecloth. I forgot the details.
Oh, that's the golden ivory tablecloth.
Oh, my wife loved that story. She's actually read that sometimes, you know, from the table, and so it's really fascinating. Okay, well, thank you so much, and it seems like America would do well to turn off the television, turn off the handheld devices, curl up by the fireplace and get a nice book like this, Christmas in My Heart series. And Lord willing, you'll be around for a while yet producing more. The website here is joewheelerbooks.com. How about a 20-second concluding thought on Christmas in My Heart?
I would suggest that each of us this Christmas turn off the electronic that we're so buried under, and to reach for a book. Get a hold of the nearest child in your vicinity and sit down in a chair that's comfortable by the fireplace. Put the child on your lap and read a Christmas story that will change that child's complete future.
Dr. Joe Wheeler, thanks so much for being with us. Again, joewheelerbooks.com, Christmas in My Heart series. Thank you. God bless. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you for having me with you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.